Her name is Jolene B. Newhouse. She's the main character in Lee Smith's award-winning short story, Between the Lines. Jolene writes a gossip column for a very small fortnightly paper. She says that her column means everything to the folks in Salt Lick. There are 17 families in Salt Lick, 20 if you count those three down by the 5 Mile Bridge. And Jolene's column means the world to them, because Jolene writes about their lives, if they get married, have an anniversary, or go to Ohio to visit relatives. Jolene puts that in the paper. Now, there are books in the New Testament that read a little bit like gossip columns. Please bear with me for a moment. I don't mean to sound disrespectful, and I haven't said what I mean by gossip yet. I'll explain what I mean by gossip a little later in the sermon. And of course, some of the New Testament books may even seem like gossip columns in the usual sense. Take the letters written to the Corinthian church by Paul. Paul confronts a church that is divided into factions, with different groups boasting about who baptized them. There were rumors about extramarital affairs. There was the problem with the potluck suppers, with some people arriving early and eating their dinner and getting drunk, while those who arrived late after work were left hungry and had nothing to eat, not even as much as a scrap of bread or drop of wine to use for the Lord's Supper. It was all gone. And then there was Paul's rivalry with a mysterious group that Paul sarcastically called the super apostles. This group apparently ridiculed Paul. Now, how could Paul really be an apostle of the Lord if he was always getting shipwrecked, or if he wasn't a particularly good public speaker? I mean, weren't those signs that God wasn't really blessing Paul's ministry? And Paul responded to such critics by insisting that God's grace was sufficient for him. Paul insisted that he was glad to boast in his own weaknesses because it was through such weaknesses that the working of God's grace was most evident. Given all the problems that Paul encountered in Corinth, what I find most remarkable is Paul's restraint. He could have really let the Corinthians have it, especially considering how many of them treated him. But through it all, Paul showed remarkable restraint while still being human enough to let a few sarcastic remarks slip in. Now, Jolene B. Newhouse also shows considerable restraint in her columns. For instance, she writes, "Mrs. Alma Goodnight is enjoying a pleasant recuperation period in the lovely modern Walker Mountain Community Hospital while she is sorely missed by her loved ones at home." She does not write that Alma is in the hospital because while she was yelling at her husband got mad and threw a rake, and he didn't intend to hit her, but of course the rake hit her anyway, leaving a straight line of bloody little holes going from waist to armpit. She does not write how Eben Goodnight is all torn up now about what he did, missing work and worrying, nor how Alma liked it so much in the hospital that nobody knows if they'll ever get her home or not. According to Jolene B. Newhouse, she doesn't include all these other details because, in her words, they are mysteries. And she says, "I am no detective by a long shot. I am what I am, I know what I know, and I know you've got to give folks something to hang on to, something to keep them going. That's why I write about what's important. That's why I try to uplift my readers. And that is what God had in mind when he gave us Jesus Christ." And here ends the quote from Jolene B. Newhouse. You see, Jolene is a gossip columnist and a committed Christian. She signs her fortnightly column, "Peace be unto you from Mrs. Jolene B. Newhouse." She writes about what's important, and she ends her column on a note of grace and peace. It's something that she learned from the Apostle Paul. Paul began and ended his letters with words of grace. He would typically begin a letter by saying, "Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ." And he concludes the letter, usually by saying, and he concluded 2 Corinthians that we read this morning by saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Have you noticed that's how we begin and end our worship each Sunday? The words I utter are grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ at the very beginning of worship. Now, why not just say good morning? Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with saying good morning, but we say good morning all the time. And we begin our worship together with words of grace and peace. Now, I've mellowed some through the years, and sometimes I do say good morning immediately after saying grace and peace. But I always try to have the first words spoken be words of grace and peace. Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ. Grace and peace to you who have experienced great joy over the last week. Grace and peace to you who have had health struggles or money worries or bouts with loneliness or depression. Grace and peace to you from the God who has called us all together to meet in this place. And likewise, we end our worship each Sunday with this very same blessing that Paul used at the end of 2 Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As Paul was struggling with the church in Corinth, he reminded them of their baptism, the one baptism into which they were all baptized in the name of the one true God, whose grace and love and fellowship bound their hearts and lives together. It was Paul's way of gossiping the gospel. In medieval English, the word gossip came from the word God and from the word sib, short for sibling or kin. Thus, a gossip was someone who brought God and people together into kinship. In time, the word gossip was given to the sponsor at a baptism. A gossip was a godparent. A gossip was the one who promised to remind the child or the adult of their baptism in the years to come. Now, in the Presbyterian Reformed tradition, we're all gossips. Because each time we have a baptism, we all make those promises to support the one who is being baptized, and to remind them of their baptism in the years to come. And that's why we begin and end our worship with words of grace, words that remind us of the parameters of our calling and define us in our life together, a people who are meant to embody in the world the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Today is Trinity Sunday. And since the 14th century, the Western Church has celebrated Trinity Sunday on the first Sunday after Pentecost. It's the only major liturgical celebration that's named after a doctrine and not after some major event in the storyline of Scripture. In the New Testament, we don't find a highly developed doctrine of the Trinity, but we do find Trinitarian language. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells the disciples to go out into the world, teaching the people to follow his teachings and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks of how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words when we don't know how to pray. And Paul speaks of how nothing in heaven or earth can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here at the very end of 2 Corinthians, Paul uses Trinitarian language as a blessing. Before the Trinity became a Christian doctrine, before it became something that was often difficult to explain, before all that, it was a blessing. And it still is a blessing. I hope that we can think of the Trinity less as some kind of metaphysical puzzle to be solved, and most of all, as a blessing to be received. The blessing is all about how this same mystery of how God can exist in three persons in a community of mutual love is somehow related to the mystery of how God loves each and every one of us more than we can possibly imagine, and how absolutely nothing in life or in death can separate us from God's love. Now, surely, that is something to gossip about. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.